Father God, we just love you this morning. We thank you, Father, as we come to this portion of the service today, Father God. I ask you to open up our understanding that we can comprehend scriptures this morning, Father. We realize, Father God, that we can't comprehend that unless you reveal truth to us, Father God, and on a level that we can understand it, Father God, because things of the Spirit have to be revealed to us by Spirit. So, Father, this morning, I just thank you that our hearts are open, that we're receptive to what you're saying to us. Lord, I believe today you're going to speak a word that is clear and that is precise, that is like a right now word in our life, Father God. Lord, I ask that you help me this morning, Father God, hear your voice and speak, Father God, so that everyone in this room can take away something that is life-changing this morning. Father, we just ask you to impart strength and hope and anointing in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, as I shared with you at the end of the service last Sunday morning, that I feel like that what the Lord's been putting in my heart is that we're entering into a season of evangelistic work, evangelism. I just feel in my heart that this is something that the Lord has really encouraged me in, and that it's time for the church to really step up and be the witness that we should be. And what's very interesting to me about this is, it's always a blessing to me and always encouraging to me, is when I have several pastor friends around the country that I talk to fairly often. And yesterday I talked to Pastor Jimmy Milligan, who most of you know. He's been here on a few occasions and spoke and been a blessing to us. Interesting to find out that he's been hearing the same thing from the Lord. And then in our conversation with Pastor Jimmy, I found that he just come from Elgin, Texas, at Jerry Edmonds Church down there, and they're implementing some evangelistic type things into their ministry. And so it seems to me like when that kind of stuff happens, that the Lord's up to something. And I don't think it's a mystery. I think he's been very clear. It is time for you and I as a church to really begin to be more active in our life of witnessing, of being an example of God's goodness and God's mercy in our life. The Bible teaches us this: it is God's goodness that leads men to repentance. It's His goodness that leads us to repentance. It's not the hellfire and brimstone type preaching that went through the churches years ago, and it's not the condemnation trying to make somebody feel bad about their life to get them saved. It's God's goodness that leads us to change in our life. And that's what the word repent is. The word repent is to change your mind. And when your mind changes, your actions will change. And when your actions change and things begin to happen in your life, that is evident that other people begin to see and begin to desire. There are two specific ways that we as members of the body of Christ, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, share Him with the world. One is that when we have opportunity to speak into somebody's life and testify what God has done for you, what He has done in you, and that testimony then become a light in their heart, and that blindness that the enemy has used to blind their eyes with, they cannot understand the gospel, begins to be removed, and your testimony begins to change them drastically. And then we must follow that up with a lifestyle of righteousness, a lifestyle of Christ-like living. In other words, what we don't want to do is we don't want to tell them one thing and show them something else. That we want to be consistent with our speech. We want to be consistent with our lifestyle. We want to be consistent. I tell you, one of the things that people in this culture that we live in this particular area especially, is how do you conduct your business? Do you pay your debts? Do you pay your bills? Do you conduct your business honorably? That speaks volume to people. How do you treat family members? How do you treat friends? How do you treat the public out there? How do you treat people in your workforce? That speaks volumes to people. And so our lifestyle should always, and our speech should always, reflect the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible talks about the words that we speak should minister grace to those who hear it. I didn't quote that. I just gave you my version of it. But that's what it says. It should minister grace. Grace is something that is good. It is something that is valuable. It's something that is significantly important in their life. And the Word of God has the power then to change them when we show them His goodness. Y'all have heard me tell this story. We had a person one time that made the comment that they needed to be scared from time to time. Actually on a pretty regular basis. So they would serve the Lord. They wanted you to tell them about their sin and about how condemned they would be. He wants them to feel condemned. He wants them broke down and beat down. But if that's all that's keeping you saved, if that's all that's keeping you in the kingdom of God, serving God, what are you going to do when His nature, which is good, starts being good to you? See, I don't serve God, and you don't serve God because of Him, of what He's going to do to you in your life if you don't do right. We serve Him in the fact that because when we mess up, He forgives us. We serve Him with a pure heart and with all of our life because He loves us. He loves us with such a great love that while we were the most reprobate sinners in the world, He still sent His Son Jesus. He still lived a sinless life on this earth, and He still died on that cross for our sins. He still did for us what we couldn't do for ourselves, even though we rejected Him at times. But thank God we've not always rejected Him. Thank God we saw the truth. We saw the light. We saw the gospel. We saw Christ Jesus in His goodness. And we've repented and we've accepted Him. We've not rejected Him. And our lives have totally and radically changed. So it's important that we as believers, that we don't just sit back and just hope somebody else tells Jesus, tells someone else about Jesus so we don't have to. Every born again believer in Christ Jesus has a responsibility to be a witness. Nowhere in the Bible will you find that it's supposed to just be those who are in ministry or just a certain select few. It is every born-again believer. We have the responsibility to share the good news of Lord Jesus Christ. The good news is if you're lost, you don't have to stay lost. If you're sick, you don't have to stay sick. If your heart's broken, you don't have to stay broken. Because we have a Redeemer who was touched with every infirmity that we was, who was touched with every trial and every test that we was, yet He conquered those things and He was without sin. And He gave us His innocence. He took our guilt, gave us His innocence. And we should have. The Bible says that we are not our own. We were bought. And we were bought with His blood. One of the first things recorded in the Bible that Jesus said to His disciples was, "Follow me, I'll make you fishers of men." One of the last things He said to His disciples before He ascended to the Father was, "Go, teach, and make disciples." He said a lot of good stuff in between. But I find it interesting that He started out, "I'll make you fishers of men." And if we go read the Scripture, He said, "All authority is mine. It's been given to me. Now go." So this is what it tells me. He said, He made His disciples fishers of men. And when He left, He empowered us to teach and disciple, to lay hands on the sick, to set captives free, to heal brokenhearted in His name. He empowered us to do that. You have the ability, you have the power, you have the right, you as born-again believers, to share Him with authority and with boldness and with confidence that He will back up what you say. If you tell somebody that if you'll give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, He'll change your life, He'll back up what you said. Not because you said it, but because you said it because of the authority He gave you and equipped you to say it with. See, the only way you and I have authority in this realm is because we are submitted to His authority. And when we realize that, man, we've got the authority to cast out demons. We've got the authority, the power, the ability to heal the sick. We're not doing it. We are just the vessel that the power of God's flowing through. And so if you realize that, that keeps you from becoming prideful. That keeps you becoming arrogant or boastful in your own self. You realize that your power and your authority has nothing to do with you personally unless it comes through Him. John chapter 4, verse 35 says this. It says, "Say not ye, There are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, this is Jesus speaking. I say unto you, lift up your eyes, look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. So that takes out the excuse for us, if we choose to use it, that they weren't ready to receive the kingdom. Jesus said, the harvest is white already. Let me tell you what he means. I've never been in the wheat field. I never have a harvested wheat. But this is what they tell me. That when wheat is ready to be harvested, when the wind blows that wheat, you can see a white color to that wheat. It means it's ready to be harvested. And Jesus is saying, the world that we live in, even then, specifically today, is ready. It's white. People are waiting. People may not even know they're waiting, but they're waiting for born-again believers to come and share with them life-changing words that will bring them to the Lord. I've been praying for each of us to have divine appointments of God so that we can share His goodness. And I've also been praying that we'll be quick to realize that opportunity, that appointment of God. Yes, the Word of God teaches us that we can live a healthy life. Yes, the Word of God teaches we can live a prosperous life and that we can have all these promises, all these blessings. But you know what? I think we'd be messing up if we focus on those things and not the reason Jesus came to earth. The Bible says He came not to condemn it, but to save it. I believe that some 21 years ago or so, God established this church to make a difference in this geographical area. The difference being is that many people will come in here and be influenced by the Word of God, influenced by our life, influenced by the words that we say and our commitment and our disciplined lifestyle unto the Lord, that has touched their lives so much that they're surely somebody serving the Lord right now because of us. There's a young man that was raised up coming to this children's church, and young man is now youth pastor in a church in Hugo. He came here a few months ago, stood up here on a Wednesday night, and thanked us for ministering to him when he was young. So I know that we have had influence. It's been many more to him. That's just one. But I believe with all my heart, God didn't establish this church here just so we could have a place to come and sing a few songs and hear somebody preach a few minutes on Sunday mornings. He called us here to be a light to this area. He called us here to be the salt in this area. Y'all loving me this morning? Because I just got a feeling most of you think he's fixing to tell us we're going to have to do something besides come to church on Sunday. Well, if you're thinking that, you're right. We got to get outside these four walls. I'm looking around here this morning. I do not see one lost person in this church this morning. So I'm preaching to the saints. We have to get outside these four walls. We have to not be afraid of what the devil might do if we tell somebody Jesus loves them. Here's kind of the mentality of the church, and we see it when people talk about, well, not all everybody by no means. And we see this when people perceive the very book of Revelations. A lot of people throughout my life have talked about the book of Revelation and have been afraid of what the devil and the Antichrist is going to do to the church. That is not why the book of Revelation was written. If you read chapter 1, it says, this is a revelation of Jesus Christ. It did not say it's a revelation of the devil and the Antichrist. It is a revelation of Jesus Christ. And it is what He's going to do to the devil and the Antichrist. That's kind of the mentality. And we've been afraid to go out and of what's going to happen. Listen. Let me just tell you what the Bible says. Don't be afraid they're going to hate you. I can already tell you the world hates you. Jesus said, if they hated me, they'll hate you. So listen, it don't matter. Well, what if I make a fool out of myself? If you'll be honest, you've made a fool out of yourself more times than you can count anyways. He's called us, guys, to make a difference in this area. Through prayer, through spiritual warfare, and through sharing Him with our community. So just to give you a bit of heads up and ask you to pray with me and Brenda and all of us here is that, Lord, we need to know what Your strategy is for 2012 to reach the lost in our area where You've given us significant spiritual influence. You see, He called us, we are what You call a local church. And so there is a local area, a region, if you will, where God has destined that we have authority in. And we have authority in this realm over all of the enemy, over all the plans of the enemy, over all of his strategies, over all of his strongholds. And in Jesus' name, we tear those things down. Now, outside that region, we have a very limited authority. But there are things that you and I as a church can do that we can do through prayer and through intercession and to help other regions too. But my point is that God's given us authority. Right? I'll give you an example. When Jesus was talking to the centurion, He said a centurion by the name of it means he has authority over 100 people. He didn't have authority over 101. He had authority over 100. In other words, there was a specific number or a specific part of this region that God has given us authority in, and we should be exercising that authority. So here's my point with that. There are people out there who have been blinded by the enemy, who have been derailed by him. There are people out there who at one time were men and women of God that were solid and committed into the church, but because of offense and strife like that, they're not even in church today. We have authority in the spirit realm to set them free. We are endeavoring, we are trying, we are striving to obey the voice of the Lord. And that at every opportunity give Him glory and honor. Did you know that when you give God glory and honor, strongholds come down? When you give Him glory and honor, you're built up, you're strengthened. Your faith increases. Why? Because you're putting your trust in Him, not in yourself, not in man, not in society, not in our government. You're putting your trust in Him. That's what makes a difference. And when people begin to see that you trust the Lord and that even though you struggle with the same types of issues they do, you go through them differently than they do. You go through those things with hope. You go through those struggles with an anticipation of victory. You know, the world doesn't have much hope. If you look at the world which we live in, that's the society of people that's without God, under the influence of the enemy. It's decaying. It's getting darker. There is no hope if your hope is in the world. But our hope is in the Lord. And when people who do not know Christ see the hope that we have exceeds anything that they have, they've got to say, wow, wish I had me some of that. We each have gifts, anointing, talents, called to different areas, different things, but it all fits together. Brother Jerry and I were talking about that this morning. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 16 says, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. See, when we're all doing our share, our share is me using my gift, Nikki using her gift, Vicki using her gift, Terry and Becky using their talents, Mark and Holly using what God's given them, their talents, their gifts, their anointing. When we're all doing that thing, it fits together. And it edifies the church. It builds us up. It strengthens us. It encourages us. I'm telling you, as a pastor, it encourages me greatly when I see you using the gifts that God's given you. I'm not threatened by what if their gift exceeds my gift. As a pastor, I say, yay, I'm doing my job. If I can draw your gifts out of you where they're flourishing and lives are being touched and being changed, then I've done what God's called me here to do. I mean, I'm thrilled that my grandson plays them drums. Y'all don't want me playing the drums. I don't have rhythm like that. I tried. A young man who's now my brother-in-law back when we was kids brought me his drum set, wanted me to learn how to play drums. He's going to play the guitar. We had us a band already formed. I set them drums up in there, and in 5 minutes, my mom said, get them things out of this house. See, you don't know what's in you until God reveals it, until someone recognizes that who has authority in your life and releases that thing in you. I remember I was telling the youth in the youth class Wednesday, I believe it was this past Wednesday night. When I was in high school, my senior year, I had to have a math class and an English class that was required. I already had enough credits. That was enough credit to graduate. But baseball was the sixth hour of the day. I was going to have to stay there all day long just so I could play baseball. And so I got in speech class because I thought that might be easy. And I found out that I was going to have to stand before the class and give a speech. The class was 4 or 5 people. Was all it was. I marched out of that class, went down to the principal's office and said, sir, give me something else. I don't care how hard it is. Give me another class. I can't stand before 4 or 5 people and give a speech. See, there was something in me then, or something coming in me from by the Holy Spirit that was going to allow me to do this and furthermore enjoy it. And I'm not afraid no more like I was then. Now, there was a time that I was afraid. I think I've probably told y'all the first time I ever spoke in front of anybody to preach was in a community building in Beecher, Wisconsin. And my knees were shaking so bad they didn't knock. They passed one another as they went by. But there comes something of the Holy Spirit that takes out all those fears, takes out all that apprehension, and all of a sudden you can do what you do because he's anointed you to do so. So I'm telling you, if a scared boy from Rattan 30 years ago to get out of class to do what I'm going to do, if God can change me, I promise you, he can change you, equip you, anoint you, and give you what you need, the tools you need to do what he's called you to do. And it'll be powerful. It'll be life-changing. It'll be amazing. I'm actually excited about seeing what God's going to do in each one of our lives and how it fits together and how it works to establish and to expand his kingdom. You know, there's going to be what the Bible says this, that the devil comes immediately to steal the word that's been sown in our hearts. Immediately means like right now. It doesn't necessarily mean wait till your church is over and I've said amen and you're dismissed and you get to go to the lunch table and the waitress don't serve you just right. They don't mean that's when he's going to come try to steal it. It means he's trying to steal it right now, immediately. So don't let him convince you of anything other than the truth. Don't let them convince you of anything. Let the Holy Spirit convince you that his truth reigns and rules in you and that he has equipped you. He has tooled you with what you need. The enemy always tries to oppose what God's doing. For everything that God does, the enemy counterfeits to try to make us believe a lie or make as many as possible believe a lie. But I want you to remember these things this morning. Number one is you have authority. Number two is that you have been purchased by the blood of Jesus. If you realize you have authority and you've been purchased by the blood of Jesus, you're no longer yours. You belong to him. That gives you strength. Number three is Jesus disarmed the devil. The Bible says he openly made a show of him. I like that. Remember this. Number four is greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Let me say it to you like this morning. Greater is the love that is in you than the hate that's in the world. Remember this also, you are more than a conqueror. Next is you overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. And the last one was, I say this a lot, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Whatever strategy, whatever plan the enemy has used to try to steal the word out of you, it will not prosper. So if the enemy can't give it away, if the enemy can't steal it, let's don't give it away. You have, guys, I don't know if you realize not how important you are, how significant you are to God's plan, and the plan of God is eternal. But you are important to Him. And we used to say this, and it was a wrong statement. Well, if I don't do it, God just gets somebody else to do it. No. It was your gift. It was your talent. It was what God given you that God was going to use to change a life. And if we don't, they miss an opportunity to be changed, to be healed, to be delivered, to come to know Christ, whatever it might be. But see, the church was not called to get them a lazy boy recliner, a glass of iced tea in one hand, and a remote control in the other. We weren't called to that. Now, it's okay to do some of that. We were called to be a witness. We were called to share the glorious empowering of God in our life. I hope that none of us ever hear these words. You had an opportunity to tell me about Christ, but you didn't do it. I hope we never hear those words from somebody. I just don't know how I could respond to that. I don't know if I'm sorry is good enough. But one thing I'm certain of, I've experienced this, you've experienced this, we all have, is that when we take that first step forward, grace is sufficient. Grace is sufficient. Grace is God's power and ability to do when we don't have the power and the ability to do. So don't be afraid. Don't be timid. Just when that divine opportunity comes, just step out in faith and let grace come to you, and then just flow with the Holy Spirit there. It's amazing how He can use the words that we speak and words we say to impact our life. I know He does. I've had instances here where I've spoke here on Sunday morning, and I'd be sharing about one subject and talking to you about things, and somebody walk out that door and say, Pastor, you said this, this, and this, and this Sunday, and I promise you, you could go back and get the tape, and I did not say it. And how that changed their life, and how that encouraged them, I didn't say it. Who did? Holy Spirit. I just tell you guys, if you'll trust the Lord, step out in faith, He takes up any slack you might have needed to be taken up. He'll equip you, He'll anoint you, He'll give you words to speak you didn't even know you knew. He shows you things to come. He shares through you, Christ Jesus, to a world that needs Him. Well, anyway, okay. How many of us are going to start sharing Christ Jesus starting right now like you never have before? Increase. Increase. Hallelujah. Listen, let me tell you this. Here's something you can do to help you with them. When you have opportunity to speak to people, you may have this chance. Because people want to talk about, and they want to use excuse what they've done in their life. That God, this is what the devil does to them. You have done this, this, and this. God would never accept you. That's what the devil will try to make them think. But listen to me. Sin has nothing to do with whether you go to heaven or not. Jesus died on that cross. His blood was sufficient for all sin, past, present, and future. God is not mad. He is not disappointed at you because of your sin. The only reason people do not go to heaven is because they reject Jesus Christ. So you can tell them it ain't got nothing to do with what you've done. It's all about will you receive Him or you reject Him. Because if you receive Him, all the past is dealt with. It's eradicated. It no longer exists.